so funny. I was watching the cows as I came up. You know, we were driving up the Pacific Coast here on our way to.
Where are you?
I'm in Sycamore Mineral Hot Springs.
Oh man.
Yeah.
How lovely! How lovely
I
for a little
been here
long weekend.
Just for a day and a half or so.
Oh,
you know, the magic of Groupon. Always
yeah,
wonderful.
I used to get more of those. I used to get more.
Yeah, so it introduces you to a bunch of things that you wouldn't normally try, which is the point, of course. And it's quite wonderful.
I agree with that. This is Pam, and I use Groupon and Living Social a lot. And it's got us to do some really neat things. So I'm
yes.
a fan.
Yeah, me too. Hi. Welcome.
Hi.
Just joined. Cool. Glad you're here. Okay, so let's get going. All right, let me scroll on down here. And if you remember this from the first one, it begins with a question. And that was the very first one when I talked about the story and the question that got me, or the questions, but the question that got me engaged in coaching in the beginning. And I had the awareness as I was preparing for today that all coaching begins this way. And it's interesting.
I'm not seeing your slides at all, Michael. Just I don't know if others might be having the same trouble, but I don't get them up today.
Oh. Is there something you need to click?
Oh. Everybody else is seeing them?
Yes, I have them.
Yeah. I may pop off and come back on and see if that helps.
Okay.
Oh, nope, I don't get it. Okay.
Yeah, there might be something that says link, something you have to click down below. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's here.
Don't worry about me.
Oh.
Keep on going.
Okay. And welcome, Karen. So all coaching begins. Hi there. All coaching begins with a question. When you think about it, no one shows up to a coaching session, and you just sit there in silence, both of you. No one just goes, and the two of you wait. So what that really points to is, aside from, you know, the other activities of coaching, you know, reflecting, observing, direct communication, all that stuff, and all the other core competencies that go along with the ICF. Okay, I've got a little bit of a. Oh, the echo disappeared. Okay, good. That it's all sourced out of a question. Even, you know, you might start with. How are you today? In order to, as part of the building affinity or rapport, whatever you want to call it, but nevertheless, your coaching starts with a question which points to how important the process of inquiry is in the coaching engagement. It's paramount. And of course, we know that the presence that one has with respect to the questions. And where that's coming from and the listening and the silence all contribute to the ability to ask the questions. But we think sometimes that coaching is simply or mostly about listening. When, in fact, if it were that, the two of you would show up and you would just, like, listen. Neither one of you would say anything. And while on a spiritual level that might be productive, and especially if you're in each other's presence, that might be of value. In terms of the mechanical world that we all walk around in most of the time, it would be fairly difficult for anything to get accomplished in the coaching session without a question.
I love it.
I know. Every now and again there's an orientation. And it also never begins with an answer. Nobody shows up with, like, the answer to a math problem, and they go, 27.
You should do this.
Okay, you should do this. What? What?
Really excellent coaching.
That's right. They don't show up with an answer first. So
really
I just wanted to highlight this. You know, and even consultants, you know, when people are consulting, they're going to do some sort of needs analysis. They're not going to show up with, you know, they walk up to the person, they don't know what's going on, and they go, sell more stuff. First thing out of their mouth. And the guy might be going, how do I fix my IT problem? No notes. So the question is a crucial, crucial part of the engagement. And this is also a recognition. I've shifted the slide. The slide is coaching's birthplace is a presence of curiosity. What, when, where, how, and most importantly, who. And notice that I didn't put why on there. And we haven't talked about it before. It is one of the fundamental pieces with respect to questions, so I'll just drop it in here briefly because it's not – why is a very, very difficult question to ask effectively. It needs to be born out of the presence of curiosity, but most of the time it's not. And most of the time people don't experience it that way. When people ask you and historically have asked you why, it's because they're challenging your judgment, questioning whether or not you're doing it right, or question what you've done. So think of one of the early times in your life where that question got embedded fairly frequently. Why did you hit your sister? Why did you eat the cookies? Why did you break the vase? And instantaneously what happens is that why, it's like clicking an icon on your personal desktop and it almost automatically goes into a defensive posture internally. Except in the rare cases where it is the appropriate one and it's presenced out of curiosity. In the same way that a child might use it out of just the curiosity of being a child. Why is it like that, Daddy? You know, they're not challenging you. They're not trying to get you to defend something or answer for it, be held accountable for it. Why didn't you get this project in on time?
Well, the good thing about most children's questions is that there's no answers anyway.
Yes, yes, exactly. Why is the sky blue?
Exactly.
You know, actually, today it just likes that color. I don't know. It's because it's sad. You know, who knows? Okay? So the most powerful place to work is out of the presence of curiosity, and the most powerful locus of that curiosity is directed at who, because then out of the who, the what, when, where, and how get informed. So this is just a revisiting of this as we move on. But when you really think about it, who is always first? So on the screen, you see a lineup of a whole bunch of little babies all doing some sorts of things, looking in some place. Who is always first? You were a who before you ever accomplished a what. And I want that to sink in for a minute. That the most significant thing about any of us is our who, is the being of us. And so out of that, that then informs us again as to where to work with people. It's the who. It's out of the who that makes a difference between whether or not a leader shows up with an activity that is a kind of abusive interaction or a supportive interaction. It's out of the who of them.
Do you think it can also be out of the how?
The how is informed by the who. So who you are determines how you will behave. See what I mean? If if the essence of you is a person who has people's development at heart, then how you interact with them will be an expression of that who. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
So here's what we're up to today. I'm going to ask you where you are now in your journey. I'm going to do a little bit of a demo, and perhaps someone on the call today has something that they have, because I want to demonstrate the C technique, has some sort of anxiety, or, you know, whether it's a concern about getting a credential, you know, some kind of anxiety going on, that would be useful. We're going to do some deep questioning practice, and then we're going to explore the coach as portal. And then we're going to check in and see what's next. So, where are you now in your journey? And then I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. But first, I want to read you something that I'm sure pretty much all of you are familiar with. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood. And sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler. Long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other as just as fair and having perhaps the better claim because it was grassy and wanted wear. Though as for that, the passing there had worn them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay in leaves no step had trodden black. Well, I kept the first for another day. Yet, knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood. And I took the one less traveled by. And that has made all the difference. So, where are you now in your journey at potentially two diverging roads? Your journey toward masterful questions being a natural and organic expression in your interactions with clients. Where are you now? So I just ask you all to mute your own phone if you can, unless you're ready to speak, so that we can really clearly hear people. Where are you now?
Well, Michael, this is Margie. probably where I am now is more of a questioning myself. Like I start getting into my head.
I'm sorry, we have some background noise there. Let me just put you on hold there for a second. See if I can clear some of that background noise. I'm going to mute everyone except Margie, and then I'll unmute after that. Because I really want to honor each and every one of you in your sharing today, you know, when you share, so that we have a clear line for you. Okay, go ahead, Margie.
I guess as I have had a little time to sort of formulate what I was trying to say, is I'm at that point feeling less masterful about my questions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. And what is that state of being leading to for you?
Well, it definitely more awareness. Of what needs to be removed in order to just be.
Great. So that's the road that has been less traveled, one might say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wonderful. Thank you. So actually, the easiest thing will be for this one, for me to just ask, and I'll open up a line at a time, and when you, if I ask you if there's anything you want to share with respect to this question, you can say, you know, you can decline, or you can share something about this question, and that way I keep everybody else on mute so that we can hear each person individually, and I'll just keep moving up the line. So, Chantal.
Yes. I am, since the we started, I am definitely more in the who question, and mm-hmm. especially since last week, I am definitely more in that space of silence with my clients and holding that space for them. So I must say that at the beginning of the Masterful class, I was not that aware that I was in that space of wanting my clients to perform. And I think I was like pushing inside of me, and probably I was bringing some friction into the conversation without knowing. I don't know if my clients felt that, but my awareness around that is, it was really helpful, and I'm really, really happy that I took that class, because it was a great review for me. So now I am more in that a solid space, and mm-hmm. I am much more confident with the way that the question will come up inside of me.
Beautiful. So I hear your divergent path being one from, I have to make sure that my clients perform so that we can get results so that they can feel like it's worthwhile, to let me find out who they are.
Exactly. And remind them who they are as well.
Yes. Beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome. And Connie with a K.
Well, I would say that I'm more present with my clients and paying more attention to what is coming to me right now. And I think that lesson that I learned, I can't remember, was like the second class, really hit home to me. And I think it's helped me be more present with them and more right in the space with them, instead of, I don't know, kind of backing up and observing to see what the next thing is supposed to be. So that feels really good. I feel more present. I'm still would like to have more understanding about that technical construction, because I think that would just fill in some understanding for me, and because I still struggle with it doesn't flow out of me, because if there's different ways to construct sentences or questions that direct in different ways, I don't have that understanding yet.
Well, okay, and we'll see what we can do with that. And some of it maybe just come out of the simple studying of the structure and going, what is this question designed to do?
I really think I need more of that, and maybe I need some more self. I don't know exactly how to move. I don't know what next steps would it be useful for me on that. So,
right.
Right.
And one thing to know is that there isn't a question that doesn't have a direction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, we talk about coaching being an agendaless experience in most cases, but in fact, every question, because of the language used, has a direction.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we want to have that be out of our intention to serve what's being called for by the moment with the client, but nevertheless, every question has a direction.
Mm-hmm.
You can't not have one. So the only question is, how does this question get to that direction?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So simply to revisit the question that I presented very early on, which is, given that we're all going to die, how do you want to experience your life on a daily basis between now and then? Now, if we look at that question, the first part of that phrase, given that we're all going to die, is the contextualizing part of the phrase. Yes?
Right.
Sets this up. And it's a normalizing. It's a, you know, this is what's going to happen. Whether I was aware of that or want to be aware of that or not, that is what's going to happen. So, you know, how do you want to experience your life Now, notice the language of that. How do you want to experience your life? Okay, look at the difference between the phrase experience your life versus what do you want to accomplish? Two completely different directions in that part of the question. How do you want to experience your life? Which is asking then for experiencing rather than accomplishing. It's asking for how we interact with life and how life interacts with us rather than tasks that we're going to solve or complete. How do you want to experience your life? And then it says, on a daily basis, not as a general overall thing, but on a daily basis, not like a random one-time-off event of, well, if I answer the question, how do I want to experience my life on a daily basis, experience my life with deep compassion, deep, rich relationships with other people, with a sense of lightness and play, fun, with a feeling of being used well for what I feel like I'm built for and good at. Now, none of that tells you what I'm going to do. But it does answer the question, how do I want to experience my life? You know, being engaged with it with a sense of vitality. Again, the descriptors that arise out of that question, the structure of the question, how do you want to experience your life? And then you take it to on a daily basis. Well, if it's now on a daily basis, what does that do? It's not just every now and again I'm on it, but I want to feel this daily, which means I now also have a direction, but I also have a screen, a filter to weigh experiences that are coming. And so one of those experiences may be that I don't have people who are major buttholes in my life, you know, that are verbally abusive. So I'm not interested in that. So they wouldn't pass the screen of that first set of words that I had, deep, rich relationships. No. And then the last part of it, between now and then, which has to do with starting right now and carrying all the way through to the then, to when, given that we're all going to die, fulfills itself. Now, this gives me a direction that can then be followed up with whatever inquiry occurs with the person afterwards. There are any number of phrases for it, and it could be quite simple, as Dina has alluded to in the past. After somebody gives you the answer to these kinds of things, they now say wind up saying something like, well, what's going to have to happen in order for that to be your daily experience, if that's the piece you're called to address? Or what's going to need to shift? Or in terms of how you're currently interacting with the world, what needs to be grown? Or what needs to be relinquished, let go of? Any number of, there's a million questions that can come out of that question. So does that give you an idea, an example of deconstructing a question to go, what is this part of it doing?
Right. Right. And I think that's what I need more understanding, different kinds of deconstructing more questions to just kind of get a sense for, a sentence or a question constructed this way, tends to direct the conversation in along these lines. And I don't have that. That's
yes.
I want more of that. Yes.
Yes. And part of that will be your own study and practice of the experience of what it does to you. What does this part of this question do to me?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
You already have a resource available. When I'm asked this question, where does it take me?
Mm-hmm.
Where did I go with that question? You know, that kind of thing. And it's part of the distinction between what, as the lead of the question, who, where, how, when. They're all part of the design and structure, a single word, but it sends you in a particular direction.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
We good?
Yes.
Yeah. Molly, anything you want to share about this question?
You say Molly?
Yes. This one up here that says what we're up to today. Where are you now?
Well, I think for me, there are so many parts to a question, and there are so many parts to listening to what the client says. Because when the client speaks, there can be so many shifts within that language that they use. It's so important to really listen and hear, so that the question is directed to all facets of what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize that there's so many components that show itself, that appear in that interaction. I think it was the second or third week, the resources that you sent out, where the different kinds of questions, the impetus for what the coach uses to ask the questions.
Right.
And I'm definitely guilty of that because, you know, I want the questions to be meaningful to the client. I'm not so much worried about, you know, being recognized as a great coach or whatever. What I'm more concerned about, that my questions align with what the client is saying.
Mm-hmm.
That to me is far more important than showing up in any other way. So I think, you know, my curiosity has always been there, but I think it has to be developed on a higher plane right now.
Yeah.
So that I
Great.
Can take it all in and come up with those questions that need to be asked at the time that it's called for.
Right.
And I doubt myself right now. I'm still, you know, at that stage. But practice makes perfect. Or practice
yeah.
helps make perfect. And
yes,
perfect it'll never
help.
Be, but it'll get better.
Right. Contingent on getting the kind of course calibration. I mean, I'm mindful of that whole message of Malcolm Gladwell in the 10,000 hours toward mastery. But 10,000 hours at sucking at a practice does not give you mastery at anything but sucking at the practice. So as long as we practice, we also need calibration. We need some sort of feedback. We need to discern and get help with that or find out a way that helps us calibrate. Oh, that was more. Oh, that was. Otherwise, you can have a kid sitting at a piano practicing for 10 hours playing the chord wrong, 10,000 hours playing the chord wrong. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes. Well, especially if they have no ear. I mean, their ears are, they have a dead ear for music. But with
yeah.
a client, I think that many times the client will tell you.
Yes.
How you've landed.
Yes.
And that's,
absolutely.
That's great feedback.
Absolutely. Perfect.
So I'm okay.
Good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
The University of Idaho.
And strangely, the mascot are the Vandals, of all things. So that's an interesting one. Hello, everyone. It's good to be together. And, you know, when I think about, you know, what I'm up to, you know, and where I am now, I think about kind of a little bit of a question regarding, let's say, for example, you're working with a client, and they're kind of stuck in the how, what, where, when space, you know, capabilities, behaviors, environment kinds of questions. And kind of knowing how and when to build rapport with them at that level to then help pace them to the higher order questions, appropriately asking maybe why at a values and beliefs level or a who at an identity level, and eventually get to that who else focus, which is more of a spirit level. And I'm drawing on my comments from a book from Robert Diltz entitled From Coach to Awakener. But I've really studied that model a lot, and in my own coaching, you know, it's interesting because as I teach it to others, I teach them about building rapport at the level where the person is and then pacing them. But there are times when the questions come up for me where, you know, the instinct is don't spend any more time here at the what or where level. It's let's go to the who or who else level, and this person might be ready. So I think it's trusting in myself but also honoring the person and where they're at.
Both things are true. And one of the places that will help is in how we hold the client in the first place. If we hold that they need to be brought along to a place where that, then they will show up that way and we'll interact with them. My question is, what would have to happen in the interview or the very first session that would set up a context that you could dive into the who at any moment?
Yeah. Well, it's a great question. And I think, you know, doing great contracting and exploring their openness at this time for that. And if it works for them, great. If it doesn't, let's measure and adjust.
Great. And what we're going to also explore later on as Coach's Portal is that that will be a useful interim step. What's going to ultimately happen, I can give you a preview of coming attractions here.
Cool.
Is that what will happen is that when they engage with you at the very beginning, and even actually before, when they are called to engage with you, so to speak, you will be presencing that that's how you play. And so those people who don't want to play there at a certain point won't even come to you. If you're willing to stand in that powerful, I'm going to go into the who, no matter what, place, that then becomes part of the alchemy that's performed on your personal magnet and draws people of a certain caliber, of a certain readiness, of a certain willingness to engage with that, even if it scares the crap out of them momentarily. Does that make sense?
It does.
Cool.
Yeah, and the word that comes to my mind in doing strong contracting up front and being able to stand for that and then having the alchemy bring others towards me, the word that comes to my mind is that's wonderful, because that's where I want to play.
Exactly. It's where you ultimately – it's actually where – and this is why I no one is on this call that doesn't want to play there because of the energy of what comes through me. And how I play, you would not have either been drawn to it or have stayed with it if that wasn't in the heart of all of you where you want to play. And so my intention is to fulfill your heart's desire of playing deeper. It's actually one of the joys I was sharing with Carly today was that I really love all the people I'm coaching right now. They're wonderful. They are just so willing to go wherever we need to go. And I know that there are lots of other people out there that I could coach, but I'm enjoying the people who are here because of the who of them that's showing up to match the who that's coming through me. It's great fun. So keep going, man. You're going in the right place.
Awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome. Pam, anything?
Yes, I had to smile when Margie said where she was, because I thought immediately afterwards, well, wherever Margie is on the path, I'm with her. because she certainly said kind of eloquently about almost feeling that to have gone backwards in this. But that's not a bad thing. And, you know, what's coming up for me is, you know, I'm definitely more present with clients. I'm definitely much more in the now and in the moment. In fact, I smiled the other day. I went to meet a client, and I'd thought of a question I was just thinking about the situation, and I thought of a question. And in the moment, it wasn't called for or right. Mm-hmm. And I know that in the past, this is a very simple example, but in the past, I would have gone ahead and said, well, you know, I got this question that had come up, and we'll go into this session one way or another. We'll hammer it in, you know. And it
right.
just wasn't appropriate, and I let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Because it really didn't feel the right thing to do. So I'm much more, I'm more trusting of myself. I'm relying more on my intuition and the faith that the question will come.
Yes.
And that, you know, that I think is really important. And I would say I'm definitely at a point now where I can stay where I am with this and say, well, this is fine. The next piece for me would be removal of the frictors and
mm-hmm.
more work on me, so I can come from this place from a very clear space. And you know, that's the path I want to go down, is to say, well, now it's back to me really, and there's work to be done on me on a deeper level, and some cleaning up and some removals to go on.
Right.
If I really want to play the bigger game here.
Right.
You know, I can stay as I am and be good and okay in terms of what I do, and clients will be happy. But if I really want to step it up a notch, then it's back to me to do some work with me.
Mm-hmm.
And that started to come up as we've gone through these sessions, and some different things have come up and revealed themselves to me. You know, this is something that I need to be looking at to clean my act up. I think that would be the best thing to say, if I want to
right.
do that.
Yes.
And you know, I'm ready. Bring it on. I'll do it. Perform surgery.
Good.
I'm waiting. So yeah, and a big thank you for that. But I didn't ever expect that to come out of these classes.
Hmm. Well, one of the things that happens, and you've all, by putting yourself in here, you've all revisited a part of you that is very seductively walked away from over time
mm-hmm.
in coaching, and it's a very seductive call of expertise. And the more clients, the more experience we have, the more we gravitate toward this call of expertise. And I'm mindful of a blog post that I read recently that I thought was really wonderful, and it was one that used Bikram yoga and the experience of Bikram yoga as a reminder, one of the aspects of it, as a reminder to stay with beginner's mind. It's very, very easy to hook ourselves into thinking we now know,
mm-hmm.
or I am this good, so
mm-hmm.
I should get that credential, like
mm-hmm.
without dropping a hat. You know, it's like we get the feedback that says, and we go, why? And it's because we haven't allowed that we're in a constant learning place. And that beginner's mind has great space in it. And so if we can show up with beginner's mind with our clients, instead of thinking, oh, I've heard this kind of thing before, I know where this is going. If we can show up, beginner's mind is a fully present with presence experience. And so nobody, and you know, and I just want to reframe this a little bit, Pam, and you know, for Margie, if you were holding it this way, Margie, neither one of you has gone backwards.
Mm-hmm.
You've actually gone forward, shedding a potential self-image of being in a place where you're actually not yet. Does that make sense, Pam?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. So kudos to you both in terms of your next movement down there. You know, the journey toward mastery is one of getting to that spot where we go, oh, yeah, I think I got this handled. And then a piece of feedback says, oh, no. No, you don't. What about this? And you go, oh, crap. Oh. And we can temporarily feel like it's a setback, but it's actually an integral part of our forward development. So cool. Thanks for bringing that up, Pam.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, and Dina.
Wow, it's fun to come at the end of the line and get to hear everybody's insights and learning. I'm having a bit of a different experience. I'm finding it really easy. I'm reminding myself of how little it matters how I structure a question. Whomever was speaking earlier and was, you know, wondering if she could learn how to structure a question better, I'm feeling kind of like the opposite, which is I remember when I started coaching, I would try to make really, really, really good questions, and they were really complicated questions, and they weren't very good questions necessarily. And the simple ones, I said this before on this call, and I'm kind of diving into that more, I guess, more easily again with clients. And you have a lot of powerful, if you show up, or I'll speak for me, I find that if I'm showing up with trust in me and trust in them, there's nothing that we can do together that won't be growthful.
Yes.
And I'll just share a client experience I had today because it kind of made me laugh. I was thinking about our class. I coach a guy, he's a really left brain engineer, kind of ex-military, so his style has been extremely authoritative and directive, and got feedback about that, which might be why he asked for some coaching. And what I decided to do, he's talking about someone whom he manages and is having difficulty with. So I shared the spider metaphor that you shared, I think, a couple classes ago, Michael. Mm-hmm. And then I said, so what are the questions, what are you curious about this person? Like, what are the questions that you're curious about? So I was kind of teaching him some coaching skills, too. And he just asked the most wonderful, simple, open, like, why aren't you joining the team? What's in the way right now? I mean, really, I was very proud of him because the questions were exactly what would have given him insight and wisdom into what was impeding this person. So where I'm landed right now with me is just I'm kind of not sitting in any judgment about the goodness or not goodness of my questions, which is really rare for me, so thank you for that. I'm just kind of recognizing if I'm present and they're present and we're curious, there's someplace great that we're going to go in the conversation.
Yes. Wonderful. What a great place to be.
Really nice. Really unusual. Nice not to be, you know, doubting and wondering, and I'm going to enjoy this for as long as it will last.
Well, that's been actually part of the road less traveled for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So now
I'm getting out of the way of my own brain, you know?
Yes, now it's time to go down that path, that path that's got, can stand a little bit more walking on it and going, oh, yeah. I'm just going to be present. They're present. We're going to show up. We're going to see what happens and see where it goes.
Yeah.
And interimly, in the beginning, you studied, you know, by trying to do all that work so that now what has happened, I want to point to this, is now what has happened is that the structure of questions has been examined deeply enough and experientially enough for you that it now becomes background. And I go back to that phrase about Charlie Parker. He practiced the notes in rehearsal, but then when he gets on the stage, he forgets all that and wails. And you have done the practice. You have done the work. And so now the only thing to do is to get on stage and wail.
It is an improvisatory work that we're all engaged in. And so pre-planning does nothing.
No, but preparing.
Preparing, but not in the way of, let me think of where I need to take this person today. You don't need to take them anywhere.
No, the preparing is like doing reps of an exercise.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, great. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
So I have a couple here whose the phone you're calling from, I don't recognize you. It says John Smith. So that's the name on the phone, but that's not John. It's not listing you. Who is that? Calling from Pontiac?
I'm not John, but Mickey?
I know. Yes, Mickey. It's showing up as John.
I don't think it would be Pontiac, but what would the number, would be a 248 number?
Well, listen, it's you. Yeah, it is a 248 number.
Oh.
It shows up, the city state on my screen shows up as Pontiac, but the reason I know it's you is that I got everybody else muted. So if you and I are talking, it's you.
Okay.
Okay, great. So where are you in your journey, Mickey?
Right. Well, kind of like the last person who spoke, but a little more. I have a lot of random thoughts, so I'm going to start in some kind of sequential order of what I'm subtracted. And what I, after a lot of thought, subtracted is a lot of doubt, anxiety, a lot of feelings about that every session has to end in resolution, a sense of urgency in the silence. I see the coaching every session, not as circular, but as a continuum of like rolling hills with peaks and valleys that will, you don't know when they're going to appear. It's like the road not traveled. So to go with it, and so I feel really relaxed about getting back and knowing that if I rely on my curiosity and my intuition, that it'll come, realizing above all that the solution is already there. And also, but then I was giving it some thought and thinking back to almost every client I've ever had and realizing as an individual, we're all at a different place at a different time. And my presence has to be there for whatever place and time the client is in, and that I work a lot with women. It's focused around my whole research and dissertation, and the who for women, and I don't mean to make it a gender thing, but I find that men are more clear-cut about the who, whether it's our society or whatever, about who I am. And maybe that's an assumption I shouldn't be making, but with the women, the depth of questioning is very individual, and it takes patience and time and a lot of inquisition and curiosity to help, when you get to the point of the who with women, often that who is a conglomeration of like a big puzzle of and I guess I'm personalizing it of what I've heard of who I am all my life. And so often the women clients that I get are those that I found in my research have had these amazing discoveries of who they really are because they never knew.
Yes.
And I don't know if I'm articulating that right, but are you
getting
the sense?
No, you're right on the money there, that most of us, most people, haven't been directed to, you might call it, true who. We sometimes we get lucky enough to stumble across it, or we're guided to it, or something like that. But for the most part, the message hasn't been that that's what's the most important thing about us.
Mm-hmm.
So we have been messaged throughout our entire lives by people who are giving us their manufactured interpretation of who we are, as if they live inside us.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't. Which means if we hear multiple messages of that kind of information, it's very hard, unless you come across a coach who works with the WHO, it's very hard to have not just any clarity, but even just on the sense level, the feeling level, a sense of, this is me. To be able to say that, this is me. Rather than have it be, this is me because my behavior is this, because this is what I've done all my life.
Exactly, exactly.
And so that inquiry with people is exquisite. And it's also something that can happen in a lightning bolt. You can connect with
mm-hmm.
someone's who in a nanosecond.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a paradigm out there that it takes, that depth takes time. Not necessarily. That's a mechanistic worldview. One can make a quantum leap into that depth in a heartbeat. The question is, what would it take in order for one's coaching to do that? So kudos to you for playing in the WHO. And by the way, men, they don't know their WHO any better than women do. They just have different concepts
right.
that they grab a hold of.
Thank you for that. You know, I just have to add a little. You made me think of something, a little story. I've done a lot of speaking, and part of what I remember being somewhere in some part of the world, I don't know where, and we're talking, and somehow it got into the Myers-Briggs type indicator and all that, and I mentioned that, unfortunately, when it was done in our corporation, I was labeled as a hopeless ENFP, and then I went through life apologizing for my personality style, which I realize now is really underscores a lot of who I am actually, not the Myers-Briggs in particularly, but my successes in life and my ability to do what I do. And I remember one young woman came up to me crying and said, I always thought there was something wrong with me because I was told this was negative. I had the same experience as you. It was like that moment, just like you said. It all of a sudden, that moment, that aha, is I have to explore this further. You know, all of a sudden I feel my value and I have to look at myself from a different, through a different paradigm or create a different paradigm.
Yes. Beautiful. Thank you. Libby?
Oh, gosh, I almost hit my off button instead of my mute button. that was lucky. Well, I really appreciate hearing where everybody is on their journey and the feedback that you've given to kind of, you know, maybe take it a bit deeper. And a lot of stuff, so a lot of stuff has come up for me during the classes. And so I'll just name a few, and then I'll just see kind of how I want to, you know, open up my thoughts. But so the first one is, you know, this idea of being present to open up the presence in the client, and that it's really, presencing is not an activity. That it seems very important to me, because I used to think about it, well, I still in a way think about it as creating space for the client, you know, that time to reflect or just have an objective center. But I really love the nuance around, you know, tapping into the client's presence or allowing that. And then the curiosity about around the depth of the client, not the surface. So the spider web is that great sort of analogy or metaphor. And then it was really helpful for me to hear
you talk about, you know, the cumulative process, and that might not even be you, you know, your your coaching moments, right, that, that really when the client has it, this their aha moment or, you know, this big awakening or whatever. And I can think of, you know, I can think of a particular situation where I worked with a woman, and to this, and we had made a huge connection, and in some ways it didn't really even feel like coaching. It was really so very, very subtle, and yet, you know, she now is has chosen to study to be a coach, and I see, you know, and we have a this strong connection, and I still feel like I don't think she even recognizes that what we did was coaching that kind of perhaps allowed her to get to where she is. And so it's like, you know, there's a part of me, right, that ego part of me that really wants to say to her someday, like, do you think you got to this place just because of those couple few conversations that we had? And of course, I'll never do that. But, you know, so that was really helpful just to think, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, it's a cumulative process, and it doesn't matter if you're with them in that moment. And that gave me a certain sort of freedom. So I think where I am is trying just to be with the client and have it really feel natural. I definitely, my coaching journey has channeled my own learning and self-discovery in a way that I've never had before. And it always occurs to me that this is what I want for my client, you know, to begin to create more self-awareness and, you know, more self-discovery. And I know Carly and I had a short conversation about this at one point, about how that might be more intentional, which I know it's not my agenda for the client. And so I'm really careful about that. But there's something I feel in my being in that place, which is, and when you talk about beginner's mind, I think of the growth mindset, because Carol Dweck's book is one of my very favorites. And I have to, and it really helps me when I'm like, you know, in that idea of deconstructing to reconstruct. It's like, okay, you know, well, I'm in a learning mode. You know, I'm always in a learning mode. And as long as I remember that, this maybe won't feel so hard. So I just think about being in that, in my own journey of self-discovery, and hoping that, I don't know, presencing that might allow a client to be open to that, even more open to that for themselves, as opposed to, you know, the problem solving.
Yes. Well, you'll be energetically modeling.
Yeah, yeah.
And what coaches do, you know, is that what we model is not being completed on the path. We model being in the process.
Exactly. Yes, work in progress.
Yeah, that's what we do. We model being in, you know, we model being in the process of the discovery, of self-discovery, of self-mastery. We model being in the process. There isn't an end point. There isn't a, like a finished product. There's only complete for now.
Mm-hmm.
Until life brings the next piece of upgrade.
Yeah, or I'm not there yet, or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And it allows for people to have, you know, live in the paradox of, I'm satisfied with who I am, and I want to grow more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So good for you. Good for you to keep engaging.
We're going to talk more about a little bit about this in a little bit when we move to coach as portal and coach as container. But I want to get the there are two people left to speak, and I want to honor that, just to at least make the request to see if they want to. Is this Connie with a C?
Yeah.
Hi there. So with respect to this question, where are you now in your journey toward Masterful Questions being a natural and organic expression in your interaction with clients? Where are you now?
Well, I'm going to answer it in two ways. So first off, I'm getting back into coaching. I had to take a hiatus due to a family emergency. My mother became terminally ill and she passed away, and I've had to move and stuff like that. So, and then I also am an author and I was on book deadline. But the reason that your program appealed to me is because I my background is a journalist, and so I'm always into questions. And so it's hard to say where I'm at because I'm just going to be getting back into coaching, and now I'm scrambling going, uh-oh, you know, with all the stuff that happened, I all of a sudden I had to scramble to get recertified. So I don't know where I'm at. I mean, I'm learning from your program, you know, but...
But what a great place to be, you know? I mean, to be in not knowing. You know, it's because ultimately we don't. We like to know, you know, but we don't really know ultimately where, how things are going to turn out, how things are going to go. We don't.
Yeah. I guess that there is one thing. I've been thinking a lot about this, you know, because I'm going out there again. I just have not been doing coaching for, you know, these personal reasons and professional reasons. And coaching is a secondary thing for me. It's not my main thing.
Right.
But since my background is as a journalist, I have a master's in journalism, and I always it was like beaten into our heads. Who, when, where, why, how? And so...
Right.
Whenever I've been coaching, you know, I've talked to a lot of coaches who are like stuck. They're like, oh my God, what do I ask next? And so I guess being a journalist, I don't feel, you know, I feel confident to be able to come up with a question pretty easily. I don't know if that makes sense. But obviously,
yeah.
You know, your program is showing me that I can come up with better questions, more masterful questions.
And deeper questions, because ultimately,
yes.
You know, from the point of view of a journalist, much of the time they are saddled with the responsibility of data gathering.
Yeah.
Which means that a lot of the who, what, when, where, how, why is about content more than context.
Yeah, that's an interesting way of looking at it.
So the presence of the coaching aspect is the who am I really playing with here?
Well, it's interesting because I have been thinking like of all those, okay, which ones are most important? I think that who and when in coaching tend to be important.
Yes.
And
the who informs the when. Because if someone is connected with who they really are and what's deeply meaningful about what it is that they're facing and how they want to go about facing it,
right?
When becomes an obvious choice.
Yeah. And the other,
go ahead.
I'm sorry. Well, and what it tends to be an important question. And I've actually, you know, I came up with a phrase recently, you know, that you're thinking about your vision, your what, why vision, or your who, what, why vision. And that when people, because I work with people who have issues with sugar.
Right.
And when you keep that in mind, it can kind of, it can help you to stop you.
Yes.
Absolutely. But now you know, so we'll see. I now have to practice.
Yeah. Well, welcome back to the coaching world.
Anybody want to help me practice? Let me know. Contact me.
Okay. Great. Well, who knows? Maybe you all will. Some of you will spin off and form a group where you just practice the daylights out of this stuff. We'll find out.
Yeah. Well, before I get my real clients that I got to put in credit for to get recertified, I want to sort of practice on
yes,
a couple friends or maybe coaches or whatever. So.
Yeah. Great. Thank you. And Carly, where are you now? If you're talking, you're on mute.
I was talking on mute.
Yeah.
Here I am. Yes, I am here. I obviously was not here for the first 20 minutes because I was getting things organized to check in, but I've been listening, and I think that the thing that really has struck me is the power of presence and presencing in what I've been listening to. And for me, that's a constant reminder that it's more than I think it is. It's more than, it's magical, really, if I show up even more truly who I am and who I want to continue to remind myself to be in my, in my being, rather than thinking I have to do anything. So I just am getting a deeper and deeper appreciation of the power of presencing and presence.
Mm. That's where it all comes from. And that's just, to me, that's the essence. It starts there. It starts there. And in fact, it's the most powerful aspect of coaching. Presencing and presence. Everything else is subordinate to that. At least in my experience and observation. Thank you. So, here we are. Now, I'm in an interesting spot because there were certain things that were kind of in the quote-unquote lesson plan at this point in time. Well, I really wanted to hear you all in your journey and to have you notice that this question spawned absolutely unique directions for people. A single question. And what I want to emphasize about that, and this is why, it's about recognizing that the people we're engaged with are one of a kind. And they're going to have a different response to the question. So if we approach someone with a question we've used before necessarily and have an expectation of a particular kind of response so that we can then proceed with what it was that we did the last time, we're going to be way off the mark. We must be present to who people are. And in each one of you, what I heard was an aspect of who. It was constantly showing itself, which is really what we're here to play with. So I have all this other stuff, but I'm wondering, and yeah, I actually think that I'm going to move through a couple of things. I'm going to skip the demo on the C technique because you do have the PDF of the C technique and you have me demonstrating it on an MP3. You have access to that. Time for demo. Guess not. I'm going to sort of feel into what's being called at this moment in time. And we touched on this briefly. I'm just going to share with you on the screen right now is the deep questioning model. The first layer is always the presenting situation, the specific issue or group of issues that a client is showing up with. If we coach on that level, we're coaching a thread of the web of the spider. Okay?
Wow. Okay. If we coach on the next level, which is the reason behind the situation, the underlying hunger, fear, et cetera, that's the driver we're coaching on. That will be better than the presenting situation, certainly. However, that will have us going to the driver of what's generating the situation we're attempting to solve, but not to the source of it. And we may get some good traction there. However, if we go to the source, the third, the deepest level, the source of the situation, people's core beliefs, their self-definition, that sense of self that Mickey was talking about, the who of them, who they are, and what's meaningful to who they are in their life, over the course of their life, on the deepest level, once all of the paraphernalia of circumstance and event is subtracted, once all of the data points of somebody's CV or resume are not relevant because that's not who they are. Those are the data points about. When we get down to that deepest place, and that gets both touched, re-experienced by them through our inquiry of it, it deepens their connection to it, and then their world shifts. So I may come back to this, but I just wanted to share that with you. And we're not going to go there. Now, this is where we are going to go. This is the coach as container. And that, from that point of view, it's like having a giant bottle of water, and every now and again the client comes over, or the coach, you know, like wiggles the tap and water comes out. And it holds the view that the coach is A, separate from the client, and I must therefore do something to or with. I must act upon in order to fill my mandate of the coaching agreement. I must help them get results. And so that means that I'm not only seeing myself as container, I am seeing them as container. Abstract container in a vacuum of the rest of the world, of containers, all bumping into each other and showing up as circumstances and events. Which makes us all like being on a billiard table. However, and I'll come back to the slide if we need to. If the coach's portal, and for those of you who can see it, it's like a Stargate portal, right? The Stargate portal is there. That may be the coach. And around the edges of the Stargate is part of the design of it. Around the edges of the coach as portal is part of the design of it. It's built with a certain structure, with a certain flavoring. And what happens in the interaction is there is a living energy within and through and behind and without with respect to that portal, that upon the presence of the interaction, the nexus, the intersection of client and coach intention, it starts to get activated. And the third picture is the presence coming through, the almost flood of consciousness coming through the coach to intersect with the client's desire to move, which is actually an intention in a matching portal on the other side coming through. What this really means is in this picture that you see now on the screen, and you'll see if you revisit the recording, the coach as portal is a frame that holds that the energetic pattern called you, the molecules of energy, neutrons, electrons, muons, quarks, going down to the quantum physics level, is simply a conduit
for the consciousness of the quantum information field, the source, whatever you want to call it, to come through you in the moment of the interaction in a way that informs, shapes, hones, produces what looks like questions, direct communication, planning and goal setting and all that sort of stuff. But in fact, is presence, and I know this is going to sound out there, but presence, presencing, presence. And in that moment, when the presence comes through you, calling presence through your client, transformation is available and being called for. So, I'm just going to open it up a little bit. We'll deal with the noise. Is there anything anyone wants to share or ask at this moment regarding what I've just presented?
Michael, this is Libby.
Yes.
So one of my, I have a few questions, but I guess one of my most obvious questions on the tip of my tongue is, so how do you, see providing resources for your clients? So they're, new to a president position or CEO position, and they're really open to kind of who they want to be in that space, but they also sort of look to you as a coach for guidance around certain areas. I mean, just for an example, how to get feedback. What kind of a feedback mechanism is a good one? Or, I don't know. That's not exactly the question, but you see what I mean?
I hear what you're asking. The sidebar, tell them to take masterful feedback. But besides that, because there's a model in there that is the simplest, most elegant model of feedback anybody's ever come across. However, let's see. Where is this? Okay. When you are attuned to what's being called for in the moment, out of the present coming through you and informing the scenario, and out of the presence that is over there called client, asking, requesting, seeking. When you're attuned to them in the full connection of, say, let's go scientific right now, quantum entanglement, you will perceive what, if any, resources are appropriate in the moment. You'll perceive if there is a message to be delivered or a resource to be offered. However, if one is working from coach as container and therefore client as container, what's going to happen is that you can deliver the same resource, but it will go into an intellectual, mechanical application of that resource and not have near the power that's available in that resource.
Okay, so I really
tangible,
get that. I mean, go ahead.
A tangible example might be somebody might say, well, I need a diamond, the resource. I need a diamond. And they get the diamond, and what do they do with it? They might show it off. They might try to use it to buy something. They might try to cut glass with it. Or if it's presence that diamond is available for them, something will be useful out of being, out of having that diamond that is not necessarily the normal application. But it couldn't be employed in that way because it's caught in the paradigm of how we normally use it. In the same way that if you offer a resource to someone, it's caught in the paradigm of how that resource is normally used, unless the scenario has said, you know what? Wow. This is what's valuable here. Let me share this with you. This model. Not because you think it's a good idea, not because it's your default setting, it's because the moment has called for that. In the same way it may have called for a question, a direct communication, or silence. Does that help?
Yeah.
Okay, now the other, there's a second part to this. You ready?
Yeah.
This one's going to be a challenge. Okay? So where the question that you're asking is coming from is from an intellectual frame of trying to figure out what's the best thing to do. Can you feel that?
Yes.
Okay, good. So now you have a moment of discernment. I'm just going to invite you to, in this moment, remember the gap exercise we did?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just going to invite you in this moment to simply close your eyes. Allow all the thoughts that are present at this moment to just sort of drift by like clouds in front of a blue sky on a partially cloudy day. And just notice that they're going to just keep drifting by. And allow yourself to re-experience, reconnect with the silent background of that blue sky behind the cloud. And when you're in the experience of that, let me know.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm there.
Yes. So now in the experience of that, in the fullness of that, is there any concern in that place that you will not know what to do and when?
No.
Okay. This is you experiencing your connection to Source. When you're not in connection, this is when we have concerns and questions about figuring it out. Can you feel the difference of those two places now?
I think so.
Okay.
So I don't know. I don't want to spend our last few minutes because I don't know.
This is perfect
for everybody. So my natural. I feel like my natural reaction is. And part of, some of the coaching that I do, which is around career transition, there's an expectation for resources, and I feel like that's okay. But then I get more, when I try to intellectualize that around, is this, like the right kind of coaching, quote unquote should be doing, then. It's like, is this being a container? Is that the bad thing? Or not a bad thing, but like the wrong way or not as meaningful of a way.
you know, it is, I guess, again, maybe it's just that ego, you know, I want to do the best
yes.
thing.
Yes. You put your finger on it.
Mm-hmm.
The ego is the supporter and perpetuator of the illusion of separateness, i.e. container versus portal.
Okay.
I have to make sure I'm doing a good job.
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't make sure, it won't happen. Does that make sense?
Yeah, actually, that's really helpful. Because when you come to it from a place of, you know, they want a resource, they need a resource, this makes sense, it's not at all around, you know, I provided the resource, right?
Right.
I don't know if maybe that's too simplistic,
yes.
but.
Yes. So what I'm going to invite you to do is give me a call. And let's
okay.
subtract that particular frictor, mm-hmm. the one that feels like you need to make sure you're doing a good job.
Mm-hmm.
Because there will come a point where that actually needs to be a non-question. If you're in the direct experience of source, et cetera, and presence, that's a non-question. Because it's irrelevant. And I know that that's one of those almost you can't get there from here's right now.
Okay. Okay, well, thank you.
You're welcome. I'm not deliberately trying to be obtuse. I'm actually sharing with you what's there to be shared at this moment, and we'll see what's there to be shared later. How's that?
Okay.
Cool. So anyone else has, with a question or a couple of thoughts about coach as portal versus coach as container and what that means for you? Because that was perfect, Libby. That was just perfect.
Michael, this is Ron. You know, as we talk about this concept as coach as portal versus container, it's interesting, you know, as I go throughout my day, I notice when I'm connected to the field versus when I'm in my own head and worrying about my own stuff and being isolated. And the way I notice this is it's as if visually what occurs when I'm connected to the field and the larger us, in my mind's eye, there's like a grid that expands in every direction and I can experience all the life, the life forms
yeah.
that are before me or, you know, two buildings over or someone walking down the street, but there's a connectedness that I can visually see, but there's a peace that occurs in my person. And so I can see it and I can feel it, and there's an empathy that it begins to occur. And I think that is probably the most beautiful state that I experience. You know, and I believe that's being connected to the portal or to the field. And when I'm connected to the portal of the field, I'm in a space where it is curious and it isn't about me and it is about, you know, how can we together take the next step, whatever that might be. And maybe that step's to the left or the right or back. That's not for me to judge or determine. It's just being present to know.
Yes. And what I want to just shift slightly is connected to the field, I hear as accurate. Connected to the portal is, I just want to share that you are the portal through which the connection is showing itself.
Yes.
Get the difference?
I do.
You can feel, yeah, you can feel that distinction.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's interesting because sometimes someone else is a portal for me to become a portal and be connected to the field, right? They kind of help me
yes.
open the door.
Yes, exactly. And we've had that experience. Lots of people who live in the place of portal, so to speak, because we have to understand that we're having a conversation on two different levels right now. We're having a conversation on the mechanistic level, and we're also having, which is the very practical world level, and we're also having a conversation on the level of the energetic field, so to speak. And so from there, my observation is that most gurus live as portal almost all the time. And so that when you're in their presence, stuff shifts. They don't even have to say anything. someone may like whop you on the head with a feather, you know, poof. You know, they are in constant expression of that. And so the question becomes, is what do I need to subtract in order for me to have more present time experiences of self as portal? Which takes us to here in this final question. And Margie, I realize you need to leave. Is that accurate because you have a webinar you're doing?
Actually, it was before this call.
Oh, okay. Oh, great. Glad you're still here then.
Sorry about that. This is Ron again, and I do need to leave to make another meeting on the hall.
Well, then take a visit to these questions when you get a chance.
I will.
Okay? Okay, Ron. Thank you. Okay, so what's next for you in your journey towards mastery? What will you take on that will keep you moving forward down the road not taken or the road less traveled? Or what will you subtract that will allow you more space for presence? Or what question do you need to ask of yourself that will help you answer the two questions above? So I'd like to hear from a few people. And we have one more slide after that, and we're rocking. Ouch. We have some bondage going on in the background there? Okay. So, who'd like to answer any of these three questions? Just go for it.
Hey, this is Pam. I'll throw something in there.
Okay, great.
What comes up for me is definitely subtraction, and that goes references back to what I said earlier, and it's subtraction of doing and being. There are some doing things that I want to subtract and have the intention to do that soon, and then there's also some being garbage, for want of a better phrase. Goes back to what I said before. So I know that it's more about subtraction.
Great.
Then taking on more. That's what resonates.
Well, then I invite you to subtract the being first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because when you subtract the being pieces, then what will happen is that the way you go about subtracting the doing pieces will be very different than you might ordinarily.
Yes, and I'm in the process of subtracting a big doing piece right now.
Okay.
And that's really good, and it feels a lot better. But this is about subtraction for me.
Great.
That makes perfect sense.
Good. Who's next?
Michael, this is Chantal.
Yes.
For me too, the subtraction concept really hit me hard. I will definitely continue to be aware of what I need to subtract, and I will also play with that concept with my clients as well. I think it's a powerful concept, and from the conversation you had earlier around the ego, definitely my ego is still in the road, wanted to perform as a coach, so I will definitely be more aware of the subtle ways that the ego can add some distraction and some noise.
Wonderful. And I want to share with everybody that the ego is not a bad guy or a villain. It's just that it doesn't always play in its appropriate place in the game.
Thank you.
It has tended to think it's the main player in the game. It's not. That's like having your arm think it's the main player in your body. It's not.
Thank you.
Okay. It's useful. Makes lots of things easier, but it's not the main player. Cool. Who else?
Well, Michael, this is Margie.
Yes.
As you were talking about the deep questions, and
mm-hmm.
part of that reminded me of stuff that we covered in coactive coaching. But what's really coming up for me, I guess it's around what'll I take on that'll keep me moving forward, is trying to... I'm sort of laughing as I'm saying this because it's sort of contradictory to what we've been talking about. But start digging more into the source, you know,
yeah.
the core beliefs or the self-definition of whatever it is going on with them.
Great. Great place to play. Thank you. How about one more? Going once. Okay. So, here's my close for today. Aside from just having enormous respect for all of you, because by coming to play, you've supported others in their own growth and development, and you've also supported me. But more importantly, you're here as part of your own growth, development, and evolution as coaches in service to your clients. And as a colleague in the profession, I can do nothing but have great respect and appreciation for that. So I want to offer a very special thank you to all those in my past who have contributed to my development, whether in person, or through books or trainings, movies, songs, whatever. And a special thank you to all those in my present who continually contribute to me and my transformation, whether by questions, direct communication, listening, presence, whatever. And to all those in my future who I have still to meet, who will contribute to who I am constantly evolving to become in whatever way that occurs, a thank you. And most especially to you all for being those with whom I get the joy and privilege of sharing the journey with. Thank you. So here we are. And so I'd love to see any or all of you come to play with me in Masterful Feedback. We can take some of this even further because questions are involved, but direct communication is also one of the more, the core, as Carly's target approach has, core four competencies. And that one's not open, and that one's open to not only, I say this, it's open to not only people who are coaches. If you have friends or managers who you think would benefit from having more masterful feedback, either in the giving or the receiving end, please do come play. And I will keep you posted on anything else that's coming up in future with an invitation to come play. You're on the path. And let's just have it be that presence keeps showing the flashlight on the footsteps for you. And we'll see what happens from there. Thank you all.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
All right.
You're welcome. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.